Everybody working now. Challenge each other.
Here. Work. I'll fight for you.
Well,
hey, draw. Let's go.
Live from the NovaCare Complex. I am Dave Spadaro. And
we got a show for you. How's everybody doing today? Dave Spadaro here, Eagles Live, the name of our show. Live from the NovaCare Complex. Hope you enjoyed your Martin Luther King holiday weekend. Having a show because it's Tuesday and, you know, we want to keep having shows and giving you guys the latest. There really is no latest from the NovaCare Complex. We'll catch you up on what has happened since the end of the season. For the Eagles, they dismiss Johnny Lynn as the cornerback's coach. Last week, the team loses director of player personnel, Ryan Grigson, who goes to Indianapolis to become their general manager. So congratulations to Grigson, who was here for 10 years, did a very fine job working with Howie Roseman in that capacity in the draft room there. Eagles have yet to name a replacement for Grigson, who largely compiled the data for the draft, again, working with Howie very closely. And those two did a terrific job together. Now, how do they move on? We'll find out what Howie Roseman has in mind. The next person in line from an organizational depth chart would be Anthony Patch, who is the director of college scouting and has also done a very fine job. Still no word yet on a replacement for Grigson. No word yet on a replacement for Johnny Lynn either, as the Eagles work with this defensive coaching staff. And we all are kind of anticipating these moves. There have been no moves. Meanwhile, of course, I know the frustration level is very high for you. It's very high for me. The Giants advancing to the NFC Championship game with their win on Sunday over the Green Bay Packers. We will get to highlights of that. But the question really today is, what is the Giants' success done for your perspective regarding the Eagles? Has it given you a sense that, hey, the Eagles, listen, like every team in the league, not far away? Or does it give you a say, hey, why are the Giants there and the Eagles not? Certainly the Giants peaking at the right time. They get into the playoffs, and once they are there, once again, the Giants doing good work, beating the Falcons, beating the Packers. They go to San Francisco to play the Niners. Should be a very good game on Sunday in San Francisco. We do want to take your phone calls, 215-339-6709. Let's talk. Start in Virginia. Talk to Chris. Hi, Chris.
What's up, Dave?
How are you? Good morning.
Good, man. Good morning. Just wanted to thank you. I got my jersey and signed ball.
There you go.
Ball, so I appreciate those gifts, my man.
You got it, my friend.
Yeah, buddy, yeah, I'm just, you know, it's frustrating seeing the Giants go as far as they are just because, you know, we were one game back, and, I mean, we were playing just as good as them at the end of the season.
Yeah, but see, they got in. And yeah,
exactly. That's the point. They got in. That's what just is even more frustrating for me, the fact that they got in.
They got in. They're playing very well defensively. Eli Manning's playing terrific football. The Packers' defensive approach was bizarre to me, Chris.
You know, it's funny, Dave, how they were talking about how the Charles Woodson was talking about the loss of Kellen Jenkins, their D-line and their secondary.
Yeah, no doubt.
And that's big. I mean, you could tell that defense was pretty much got exposed, and the offense just couldn't win a shootout.
Their timing was terrible. They didn't just seem to have the urgency that I expected them to have. But what does the Giants' success do in terms of your perspective of the Eagles?
I mean, it lets me know. I mean, we're close. I mean, like I said, at the end of the season, we were playing good right there, just so we didn't screw up in the beginning of the season. I mean, that's just guys not knowing each other. So hopefully, I mean, I'm looking forward to this next year.
Yeah, Eagles have to make some changes here. I think I'm impatient. I want to see what they're going to do with the defensive coaching staff.
Yeah, I'm surprised they haven't made more moves, to be honest with you, Dave. I mean,
they all came back from vacation. You know, look, this is the time when they're meeting. They're planning it out. let's get something done here, boys.
I agree with that. What do you think is going to happen, Dave?
I think Juan's going to be the defensive coordinator. I think they're going to bring in a new defensive cornerback coach. And they're not going to make the splashy moves.
Yeah, could you see Zordich taking over both? Or is that
No.
Guy?
No, they'll bring in a cornerback's coach. And as far as the personnel, look, they've got to add some help for the defense. We all understand that. We all agree with that. Yeah. I don't want them to ignore the offense. I want a big receiver in here.
I agree.
The DeSean Jackson question, I think it's still, I'll say, 50-50 on whether he comes back next year.
Yeah, I agree with that too.
And they're going to – look, they're going to have to build through the draft. Now, they will have some cap room. They will make one or two, I believe, significant additions. But I don't think you're going to have this major turnover like you had last year. I think the Eagles understand that they've got to get off to a good start. They've got to be productive. They cannot dig. This is my biggest thing here. Why is this team starting out in holes? Why is it a 3-4 team at the bye week? Why is it a 4-3 team at the bye week? Why does this team have to win down the stretch, it seems, every year?
Yeah, it's three out of the last 4 years that's happened. You know, it's not like the early 2000s when we were basically playing for home field advantage every year.
Yeah. So what has changed?
You know, I don't know. I don't know if it's the you look back in the day, I mean, our offense, you know, the weapons weren't there, but I think the defense and Jim Johnson really held us in games. I mean, close games. I mean, this year, I mean, close games, we had no chance.
Yeah, and that comes to me, that's leadership.
Exactly.
That's making adjustments. That's not turning the football over. If we didn't know before, illustrated more than ever, turnovers kill you. And in the playoffs, it has certainly been the story.
Yeah, I mean, you can see each team that lost this weekend had some key turnovers.
Oh, just a ridiculous. The Niners and the Saints, the way Aaron Rodgers played. So I don't know. Look, let's see what they do. I don't know. I don't know what the plan is.
Yeah, same here, Dave. I just want to be rooting for the 49ers. I want to see Dave Akers finally get something. I like that guy. He's a stand-up guy, and I got a lot of respect for him.
Yeah, well, he's going to have a big the weather forecast apparently is really iffy for San Francisco on Sunday, so it could be one of those ugly special teams games. And
yeah.
David's been through that before and has had success, so we wish him the best of luck. And Chris, we'll see what happens with the Eagles here. Thanks for the call.
Man, take care. I'll be calling you throughout the season, Dave, and thanks for putting on a show every week for us.
You got it, man. I just wish I had something more to talk about today. It's just a quiet, quiet day.
Yeah.
Everyone gets back. Thanks for the call. Everyone gets back from their long weekend, and I think everybody feels the same way. I mean, I give the Giants a lot of credit. I mean, they play good football. They get in and then they peak and then they just have a good formula. And Eli is a very, very good quarterback right now. But I hate the Giants. And, they put on pressure up front. Their safeties, cornerbacks played well. They're coached well. Why are they there and why are we here? Clearly 1-4, 4-8, turnovers galore. Doesn't help at all. Let's take a little break. When we come back, more of your phone calls. More to go here on Eagles Live. Dave Spadaro with you live from the NovaCare Complex on this Tuesday. We're coming right back.
Opportunity, opportunity is knocking at your door. Opportunity knocks but once and don't come back no more. Grab it in the night. Grab it in the day, grab it right now, it'll get away. You better snatch and grab it, snatch and grab it.
Buy and sell tickets safely and securely at NFL.com Ticket Exchange.
It's time for the annual shareholders meeting. There'll be the usual presentations on research and development. Some new members of the team will be introduced. The chairman emeritus will distribute his usual wisdom. And you? Well, you're the chief life officer. You just need the right professional to help you take charge.
Many people stop exercising because it makes them cough, wheeze, or feel tightness in their chest. Are you one of them? It may be exercise-induced bronchospasm, or EIB. These symptoms are preventable with treatment. Go to EIBandMe.com to learn more and get back to being active.
Is crossing the finish line the best way to start the season? We think so. Give them a running start with the brands they want at an unbeatable value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good. Official sporting goods retailer of the Philadelphia Eagles.
What makes Acme fruits and vegetables taste so delicious? Make your meals come alive with the tastiest fresh fruits and vegetables you always get at every Acme.
Let's get to the highlights. We all know Joe Philbin, what he's been dealing with this week.
Praying for you, baby.
Absolutely, to him and his family. Tom Coughlin and the Giants returning to freezing Green Bay. Thankfully, his face did not fall off this time. Eli Manning and Aaron Rodgers' first ever playoff game with two Super Bowl MVP quarterbacks going against each other. Giants were up 3-0. They scored first. Eli Manning trying to counter midway through the first quarter. Greg Jennings is wide open, and the pass is overthrown.
These guys haven't been together now for the last few weeks. Greg Jennings with the injury and Aaron Rodgers resting a little bit, and they're a little bit out of whack.
A little bit, Coach.
Jennings missed the last 3 weeks with a knee injury. Aaron Rodgers sat out week 17. His last game was Christmas night, but
slow
they did
time.
Get a three-pointer from Mason Crosby to tie the game at three. Eli Manning coming back down the field the other way to Hakeem Nicks, third and 11.
Three-man rush, you get that type of time.
Nicks was just getting started. The next play, Nicks hit by Charlie Peppra, and he bounces off and goes the distance.
Charlie's got to wrap that up, Michael.
He catches the ball in his hands. He knew he was coming into contact, gathered himself, and spanned out. What a great play by 88 clubber King Nicks.
66 yards for 88 as Nicks is blossoming into a big-time playmaker of the first order. Touchdown, Giants. First touchdown of the game goes to Big Blue. It's 10-3. How would Aaron Rodgers respond? Well, getting into plus territory and getting it to Greg Jennings. Ball is out. Initially ruled a fumble. Refs get together and ruled it down by contact, which means it's Tom Coughlin who now must challenge this call, not Mike McCarthy. Coughlin challenges it. Bill Levy goes in, and even though looking in the booth, it sure looks like the ball is out before any knee or wrist or
it's
elbow hits.
Definitely out.
Bill Levy says the play stands as called.
We have the best officials in all of professional sports, but today they had a tough day
in Lambeau Field, and that is putting it lightly. Second quarter, what does Aaron Rodgers do with the second life?
Do what he does.
Four plays after getting the ball back, thanks to that interpretation of the replay. It's Rodgers to Kuhn, we have got a tie ball game. What do you think about this decision to go onside?
This is a gutsy call. Now it's risky because this kind of an onside kick, now the chance of getting it is like 42%. Did not get it. Mm-mm.
Do we read anything in
it? No, it's 10-10. You score, I score. You score, I score.
I wouldn't have done it.
Let's take a chance.
So Eli got a couple first downs with the gift field position, setting up Lawrence Tynes for the field goal, and it is blocked.
Nice.
It is blocked by Greg Jones, so the Packers special teams bails out the Packers special teams.
Inside the double bumper, he skims it tight, gets a hand on the ball. That's a big play by the field goal blocker.
Anytime you can skin it tight in a double bumper. Can you say that on television? I don't know if you can say that on television.
He's talking about bowling.
This was a key right here, Rich.
Meanwhile,
this was a key right here, Rich, for the Green Bay Packers. A lot of this right here, a lot of drop passes right here by the Green Bay Packers, something that we haven't seen much this year.
Four in the first half, four in the second half. We do the math. Eight drop passes on the night for Aaron Rodgers and that offensive, the receiver unit. As for the Green Bay defense, it made a big play midway through the second quarter, picking off Eli Manning, who has only won one playoff game in which he's thrown an interception. It was Super Bowl 42 against the New England Patriots. Desmond Bishop is the one who hits Eli Manning as he's picked off by Morgan Burnett. How would the Packers respond?
First
that
ever.
Pick by giving it right back to the Giants. John Kuhn fumbles it. and it's picked up by Antrell Roll as Matthias Kiwanuka hits the ball loose from Kuhn and Eli Manning after the trade of turnovers. Manning going to Hakeem Nicks, who makes another big play.
And he breaks a tackle, Mike. He's strong.
Coach, he comes back to the ball. He does a wonderful job of coming out of this cut and then back to the ball.
First play after the two-minute warning. Jake Ballard in the end zone off his hands. Incomplete. Lawrence Tynes kicks the field goal as the Giants settle for that. It's 13-10. How can Aaron Rodgers get some points on the board for the Packers before the end of the first half? He can't. He's sacked by Michael Boley, who discount double jumped.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
48 seconds left. Giants call their final timeout. 15-6 to go, third and one. So they just
trying to get run the ball. Down.
Get out of bounds.
He goes.
Get out of bounds. Then
Ahmad Bradshaw does just that.
Smart
Six
football.
Ticks to go. So Lawrence Tynes, you bring him in for a 50-yard-plus field goal. No, maybe you try to get him close. Or you go for all of it.
Pump it up, Eli. Eli bumping the receivers.
To Hakeem Nicks, who comes down with it. Holy Hail Mary, Batman. Giants hit the Hail Mary with no time left in the first half. 20-10 Giants at halftime.
Wow, you got Charles Woodson back there and Charlie Pepper, but the 88 clubber goes up higher than everybody else with no time remaining on the clock.
Deion mentioned it, Coach. When I had this position, I hated the guys bumping me at the line of scrimmage and then having to exert the energy to get it all the way to the end zone. Green Bay messed up mentally by not bumping the receiver.
Gave Nicks a free release.
Nicks had more receiving yards in the first half than Aaron Rodgers had passing yards. Here he is with the first possession of the second half. Picking him up, putting
That's
him down.
That's where he's very dangerous when he leaves the pocket, running or throwing.
Picking up the first down on third down. He did a lot of that on the night. He was the leading rusher in the night for Green Bay. 66 yards running for Aaron Rodgers, who picks up the big first down here on third and five with Donald Driver
he
connecting
came to
there.
Play. Made a few plays, Donald Driver did. Yeah.
But here comes O.C. Umanyiorah off the edge and knocking the ball loose. It's a sack, force, fumble, big defensive line
big
play to get it back.
He missed 10 games this year, and boy, do they like having him back because that defensive line is fresh and healthy right now.
Sapp says it, Coach, front end, back end working together. Well, it did because the back end was beat real badly.
Boy.
And the front end said, I'll take care of it, knocked that ball out.
If O.C. didn't knock it out, that was an easy touchdown.
Easy touchdown.
Pitch and catch for Rodgers and Greg Jennings. Instead, Eli Manning gets the ball back still with
a 10-point
lead.
It's a horrible spot.
Again, being kind to the refs.
Horrible spot.
I don't know where that spot was, but it was short of the line of game. Tom Coughlin doesn't challenge it, gets the ball back to Green Bay off a punt, and here comes James Starks running downhill.
Well,
James Starks running like he did in last year's postseason with a 29-yard gain on the cusp of the red zone, now inside the red zone on third and five. Rodgers to Greg Jennings off his mitts.
Plays that we've seen Greg Jennings make time in, time out. He did not have the timing. Look at this. Ball hits him basically in the head.
Great coverage by Antrell Roll. That was a wheel route with a pick on top of that, and he fought through it.
Mason Crosby does come in, though, and make it a one touchdown game, and Rodgers has the ball back, top of the fourth quarter, still down by seven. Incomplete to Jermichael Finley, was wide open on third down, starting a crucial sequence of events.
Frustration setting in.
Because now it's fourth down instead of it being first down, and on fourth down, Michael Boley discount double checks Aaron Rodgers again.
Two times it right here, too.
So now the Giants get the ball back, and what do they do with it? Eli Manning hits
first down.
Manningham
now.
For first down.
They let him off the line of scrimmage.
Six
again.
Plays later, Eli Manning sacked by the man who blocked the field goal. Brad Jones had a big game, so Lawrence Tynes comes in and kicks the field goal to make it a two-possession game again.
Big.
7 minutes to go. Packers season on the line. Ryan Grant picks up the first down, tries to
get
do too much. The ball is out. Chase Blackburn picks it up. He's running, and the refs are not blowing this play dead. They're letting it go. And again, on a rough night for the refs, they did get this one right. It is a fumble by Ryan Grant. There was no reason to challenge it. Ball is out as Kenny Phillips knocks it loose, and Chase Blackburn sets Eli Manning and the Giants' offense up on the floor.
Defenders are taught to get to the ball with full speed, and good things happen when the multitude gets to the ball.
And Eli Manning finds Mario Manningham to put the Giants up 17 with 6:48 to go in Lambeau Field.
We rolled a dice.
We have a three-possession game, Prime.
30-13, Giants are up. Aaron Rodgers and the Packers 50.
15-win season is slipping away. 3rd and 10. Rodgers trying to buy time. Rolling to his left. Now buying more time to his right. It's incomplete. It's 4th and long, if not for the fact that Bill Levy, the referee, called this roughing the pass.
That's a horrible call.
Helmet in the head.
He hit the body. He hit the strike zone. He didn't hit him late. But he was hit with a flag.
All right, new set of downs.
So it is a new set of downs. And what does Rodgers do with it? He moves the ball down the field with his legs again. He was the leading rusher on the night from Green Bay.
Credit for his ability to run with the football. He has wonderful legs.
16-yard game. Wonderful. 2nd and 2. Touchdown to Donald Driver.
Right over the shoulder of the linebacker. Well thrown. Good play.
It's a 10-point game again. Now you got to go onside, right?
Yeah. Everybody knows it, though.
They do that, and the ball stays loose a little long for the Packers to get on it.
Yeah, they come backside with it, Rich. You can tell these guys aren't good at practicing it because they should have been hitting the Giants and letting the guys following them recover. They're onside. That's what I know, Coach. They're trying to stay with me.
That's why they call it hands team. The best hands guys are on the defensive side.
So now with 3 timeouts to go, the Giants are going to make Green Bay burn all 3 of those timeouts.
Stay in bounds.
Amon Bradshaw, 1 yard gain. Timeout number 1 used by Green Bay, 2nd and 11. Amon Bradshaw, no gain. Timeout number 2 used by Green Bay, down by 10 with a 2-minute warning. If they can get the stop here, they've got a chance.
3rd and 11.
And the
play.
Giants throw for it and bat it. Victor Cruz from Eli Manning. Big 17-yard gain. Packers do not use their final timeout.
Wonderful
needing to get something out of their defense right now. Amon Bradshaw on the pitch, seemingly stopped for no gain.
Heart and soul of this football.
Good block.
Stay
in
bounds, Amon.
He does.
He's the heart and soul of this football team. When this guy came back to the football team, this team started playing like a team.
24-yard gain, and then Brandon Jacobs picks him up, puts him down.
Yes, he does. That's called a 4-minute drill. Ends up in the end zone.
And the Giants go into Lambeau Field. The 9-win New York Giants. No team has ever won the Super Bowl after a 9-win regular season. Giants are now 2 wins away from becoming the first team to do just that. But one thing that they did on Sunday was turn the Green Bay Packers into the very first 15-win team to ever be one and done in the postseason. That has never happened. So instead of the Packers hosting San Francisco for the NFC Championship next week, the Giants now go to San Francisco for the right to move on 3 weeks from now to play for it all.
It was painful on Sunday. It was painful there. And why the hell did we show those? It was such a long, ridiculous highlights for the Giants. All right, let's get back to the telephone. Shannon in Fort Lauderdale joins us. Hi, Shannon.
Hey, man, Dave. What's going on, good brother?
Life goes on, Shannon, does it not?
I know, man. It's so easy to play the what-if game, man, because I'm like, man, San Francisco, we could be having a ball in San Francisco this weekend. Oh, my gosh, man. But it's so interesting because, remember, Dave, I did say Eagles-San Francisco in the NFC Championship because I knew somehow, some way, Green Bay was going to find a way to just give it over to whoever played them, man, in Green Bay.
There's a reason. Yeah, there's a reason teams don't repeat in the NFL, right? I mean, there's a reason that it's so difficult. But I have really resisted the what-if, shoulda, coulda, woulda game. But it's hard not to. I understand the frustration out there. I believe the Eagles have a good team in place here.
I think we do too, man. Several moves I see, Dave, and tell me if you agree, man. I see Asante going next year.
Let's talk about Asante. What are you going to do with him?
I mean, either trade him. If you can't trade him, cut him.
Just like that.
I think it's a liability, man. I don't mean to be like, of course, you know, I love him. He's given us a lot. But the risk to reward and, you know, just kind of all the other kind of personal things going, you know, whatever, man. I think you cut him, man, because we got to move on. We have to do something. We're in a critical time in Eagles history, man. We don't know how long this window is going to be open, man. So I think we need to do everything we can to make sure we're in the right position next year. But Dave, don't you think it's like a little bit of luck too? I mean, of course, skill is coaching and all that, but it's a little luck in there too, isn't it?
No question. The Giants catch the Packers playing terrible football. I'm not taking away from the Giants because what they did was really remarkable on Sunday. They played a great football game and they dominated the Packers, a team that had won 15 games in the regular season. But yeah, of course there's luck involved. There's luck with injuries. There's luck of bouncing the football. And look, the Giants nearly got rooked on a very controversial non-fumble call that was not overturned. So yeah, there's definitely luck. But you've got to put yourself in position to get that good luck. And
exactly.
You can't start the season 1-4 and then go to 2-5 and then, you know, or get to 3-4 and then it all falls apart. You get to 3-4 and it all falls apart on you. And that's what happened with the Philadelphia Eagles. And
I don't care if we play Simon Gratz the first game of the NFL season. We have to have the mindset, listen, we're not taking anybody for granted, and we need to go on a run in the first game of the season, man.
Yeah.
We just have to do it. I see Jaquay Parker going. I think he's good, but I just think it's time, man, for just someone who could really give us that, 16 games straight. And I agree with you, man. I think we need two big wide receivers. Now, maybe one of those wide receivers is working on Riley Cooper in the offseason. I'm not sure. But I think we need a prime time go-to guy in the red zone type of wide receiver. Vincent Jackson, I don't know. I mean, Dave, if you could choose, if you had your pick of the litter for a big wide receiver, who would you bring to the Philadelphia Eagles?
Well, from a veteran standpoint, we've talked about this. The list of free agent wide receivers that's going to be out there it's impressive. Now, I don't think you go out there and spend a bunch of money on a wide receiver. You want to bring in a specialist like Plaxico Burress if he becomes a free agent in the red zone?
Mm-hmm.
Sure, go ahead and do that. If you want to draft a kid, there's Blackman's only 6'1 from Oklahoma State, but what a player. Here's your list. This is Adam Kaplan's wide receivers. Vincent Jackson is a big receiver. Dwayne Bowe is a big receiver. Brandon Lloyd, not really a big guy, but a good football player. I mean, there's plenty of players there, and Plaxico is not on that list, by the way. So you see how deep that list is.
I kind of want a veteran, though. I mean, I know the college guys are decent, man, but I kind of want someone who's been in an NFL game, been in maybe
well, then who do you want?
Playoffs or something, you know?
Well, who do you want?
I mean, I'm like maybe Vincent Jackson.
Well, then
Plaxico was good, you know?
So you're saying don't bring back DeSean Jackson. You can't have Vincent Jackson and DeSean Jackson. No way.
Well, you remember, I had a little twist on it, Dave. I said either DeSean Jackson and the big wide receiver, but when I said this, I don't think you agree with me. And I said trade Jeremy Maclin for like a big-time wide receiver.
Well, Jeremy Maclin is a big-time wide receiver.
He is, but like you said, you can't have all three of these guys, so something has to give. So I'm saying I would love to keep DeSean and then trade Jeremy. I know it's kind of crazy, man, but we're just talking.
Yeah.
We're trying to find something to
we're
talk
just trying
about,
to kill the time until
Jeremy
free agency.
Right. Sounds kind of crazy, but,
We're just trying to kill time until free agency.
Exactly. But remember now, Antonio Dixon, hopefully he comes back healthy because I think he's going to give us a good defensive stout, on that front line when he comes back. Hopefully he comes back healthy.
I saw Antonio Dixon working out today. A critical interior defensive lineman who has to be in shape. He did not come in shape last year, and it hurt him. He was not the same player early in the year that he had been the previous season. And I thought that he was somebody that Jim Washburn would really love to work with and really mold. And Antonio just wasn't there, and then he got hurt, and he should be fine for training camp. Yeah, agreed with you. I would like another defensive lineman. I'm big on that. I see what the Giants are doing. I recognize that Trent Cole's still a great football player and Babin there. But who's the other pass rusher? Is it going to be Brandon Graham? I mean, I have doubts about Brandon Graham. He's coming back from a major injury. I like Philip Hunt a lot. I think at 245, a little undersized there. But, yeah, I do like that. I think the Eagles have a lot to work with in their front four. Yeah. I think they have a lot to work with at cornerback. I think they have a lot to work with at safety, although I wouldn't mind a safety. I do really believe in Nate Allen, and I think Kurt Coleman's a good player. And we'll see about Jaquan Jarrett. I thought he was very up and down in that last game.
I thought he was going to be a little bit more impressive. But it's his first year, so guys, we'll see that big leap next year. But hopefully, I guess the team is believing in Juan. So I think they believe that Juan, if you give him the offseason, man, he better give us some staggering results, man,
Well, we'll see. Juan is the defensive coordinator, and there has been no movement there. I know there's been a lot of speculation, but there's been no movement there. So we take a look at some of the offseason dates here. What's interesting, hey, Shannon, thanks for the call, man.
Tampa's coming, Dave. Tampa, Florida, buddy. We'll see you.
You got it. We'll see you there. What's interesting about this is usually after that draft weekend in late April, there's a full team minicamp. This year, that's not the case. There is no full team minicamp. The full team minicamp doesn't come until the middle of June, which has normally been OTAs. So it's just an interesting kind of flip-flop of schedule there. And I don't know. I guess the idea is get these young players coached up in the scheme as much as possible and then get the team all together so that everybody's up at the same speed. All right, Steve in Alabama joins us. Hi, Steve.
Dave, hi. I ain't going to ask how you doing, man. Pain and suffering, right?
Isn't it amazing?
Oh, man. It's the only happiness I can get right now is for a Giants and a Patriots loss.
Well, I'm actually rooting for the Patriots. I want to see Tom Brady in the playoffs. I don't want to see Joe Flacco. I don't want to see the, I just love watching type. I don't, you know, like the Patriots.
I still have a grudge from when they beat us in the Super Bowl. Yeah. And we never got back. So I don't know. I just can't.
Steve, I got to tell you, I sit there and say, am I going to even watch this weekend? I mean, I'm so bitter. I'm such a bitter, awful loser.
Me too, man. Yeah. I'm feeling the same way, but I know I'm going to watch it because I want to see the Giants lose.
I don't think the Giants are going to lose. How about that?
I put all my money on the Packers this weekend, and they failed me tremendously.
You know, it was interesting. It reminded me, in ways, actually, of some of the games we've seen the Eagles in the NFC Championship games, where you know they turned the football over, where they dropped passes, where they just didn't execute basic things, special teams breakdowns. There's a different kind of pressure when you are the favorite. And to me, the Packers did not play and respond to that pressure very well at all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Packers really, they played a terrible game.
Yeah.
And honestly, they had the last ranked defense, and they really played like it on Sunday. So.
Yeah.
But
they laid back on Eli. You know, Steve, they laid back on Eli, and I can't believe a team, after watching the way the Eagles played Eli Manning, where you dial up the blitz, where you put your cornerbacks in pressure, man-to-man press situations, why would you lay back and give Eli Manning time to throw the football? It makes no sense.
I was screaming that the whole time. The whole time on Sunday, I'm like, he's going to kill you because there's no pressure. He had about like 5-6 seconds in the pocket.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, look, Eli, when you put pressure on him, he turns the ball over. When you start hitting him, he turns the ball over. But, hey, they didn't do that, and that's why they're sitting at home with us now.
Yep, as does every quarterback's the same way. If you give him time in the pocket, he's gonna tear you apart.
Yeah, is Andy Reid going to speak to us anytime soon?
Is no scheduled Andy Reid time, so I don't know.
Man.
I do not know.
All right.
I keep
seeing all this Spagnuolo and
I don't see anything happening.
Even you know what? I just want the Eagles to make the right move. This is a pivotal time. I know we really, really, really need a linebacker, a veteran presence that's going to stick the middle. I know that, but. We just need to make the right moves coming into the second season. If they give Juan a chance, hey, it's your second chance. You know what I'm saying? But I don't know, Dave. We just need to make the right moves so we can go on a Super Bowl run because it's ridiculous seeing the Giants go on this again.
Well, what does it mean to you, Steve, that the Giants are there and the Eagles are here? What does that tell you about the difference between the Eagles and the Giants?
I think of the 49ers. I think of the Arizona Cardinals. I think of the Seattle Seahawks. I think of these early losses. I mean, I hope this is a wake-up call to Vic. And DeSean Jackson, if he comes back, like, you have to play week one. You have to come out hard. You got to play these games, man, because all that stuff bit us in the ass.
Yeah. Yep. Hey, thanks. And, yeah, Steve, thank you. I will tell you this. I felt that this year was too much early on. Yeah, we'll just flip the switch and then we'll go. And that just doesn't happen in the NFL. All right, let's take a break when we come back. More of your phone calls, Eagles Live, on this quiet Tuesday here at the NovaCare Complex. I know things are churning upstairs. They just haven't gotten down to me yet. So we're going to come live your way every week. We want to keep you in the loop. Really nothing to update today. Eagles looking to replace Johnny Lynn as cornerbacks coach. He was dismissed shortly after the season ended. And then last week, Ryan Grigson, director of player personnel, goes to Indianapolis to become their general manager. No word yet on his replacement. We'll take some more phone calls and get to the highlights of the Saints-Niners thriller on Saturday on the other side here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
You can say that I like things fast. Not because my supercar shoots the flames, but because I have Xfinity Internet. With all the laptops, smartphones, and tablets, I need more speed than ever.
Call now for a great offer on Xfinity Internet.
What makes Acme fruits and vegetables taste so delicious? Make your meals come alive with the tastiest fresh fruits and vegetables you always get at every Acme.
Teva Pharmaceuticals is the proud sponsor of Eagles in the Community. For more information on the program, please visit the Community Relations page on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We're enjoying a great 2011 season together. Teva Pharmaceuticals and the Eagles in the Community.
The Eagle season is in full swing. Now it's your turn to get in the game. Become part of the team with an Eagles Extra Points MasterCard. Gain behind-the-scenes access, redeem points for sideline passes, preferred parking for a season, tours at the Eagles practice facility, and the chance to host a flag football game in the practice bubble. Plus, you'll get 10,000 bonus points after your first purchase. That's enough points to redeem for an official Eagles jersey. Get closer to the game. Go to PhiladelphiaEagles.com/extra points to apply for the Eagles Extra Points MasterCard today.
What shall we do with this bounty of ice cream from our Lancaster County Dairy?
Share with the neighbors.
I did, but you keep making more.
We use only the finest wholesome ingredients. It's too good not to share.
Let's take it to the market.
What shall we call our ice cream?
Gobble, gobble.
And that's how Turkey Hill Dairy came to be. Imported from Lancaster County.
Niners on the way to the NFC title game. Take a look at your highlights. Seems like a long time ago. Jim Harbaugh getting Alex Smith ready before the start of this one. Sean Payton, 5-3 in the postseason. The Saints have never won a playoff game on the road.
And remember, Jim Harbaugh despises the term game manager describing his quarterback.
Hard hitting this game was, right? Just ask Pierre Thomas.
Oh, he's out. He's out before he hits the ground.
Good night. And this set the tone.
I agree.
All game long. The 49ers defenders, I mean, when you see this hit right here,
watch
bam!
He's out.
Good night.
Pierre Thomas is out before he hits the ground. And that ball comes out, the 49ers recover. You're right, Jamie. Set the tone early in this game.
Alex Smith to Vernon Davis, that was the combination today.
All day long, Vernon Davis just literally owned the secondary of the New Orleans Saints.
49ers take a 7-0 lead. Vernon Davis getting in touch with his inner Jimmy Graham there for the slam dunk. 1st and 10, ensuing Saints possession. Drew Brees intercepted, picked off by Deshaun Goldson, who had a huge game.
You know, as good as Drew Brees is, he's an elite quarterback, one of the top two or three quarterbacks in the league. If you make Drew hold it that extra half second and pat it one more time, like all quarterbacks, he'll find trouble.
And the key here, giving the ball back to the Saints, to the 49ers who just scored at point blank range.
Yeah. Got to kick it into the end zone. And by kick it, I don't mean it through the uprights. I mean get it into the paint.
It's hard to believe in practice that this was ever that open.
I was
Michael Crabtree.
Ever.
4-yard score, and it's 14-0 San Fran.
Well, and Jamie, it's something you talked about. This 49ers team could not trade field goals. They had to score when they got in the red zone.
Had to score.
17-0, impossible throw to defend right there. Jimmy Graham, 14-yard score.
And there was a huge stop by the Saints defense because of the turnover. They held them to 3 points, and that actually put this in within a 2-score with that touchdown right there.
Jimmy Graham with the whiplash, the head to the ground there. Drew Brees making sure to start tight end. is okay. Next Saints possession. Third down and three.
That's
look at
great.
That pass.
You can't throw it any better than that. Wow. That's vintage Drew Brees.
Alex is going to show you a couple of throws that rival that throw right there.
That's just beautiful.
Wow, that's beautiful.
And Colston does a nice job tapping both feet. That is a touchdown. And the Saints back in this game after a very difficult start.
Saints trailing 17-14, and what a second half we would have. Third quarter now, Darren Sproles put the ball on the ground, recovered by the rookie out of TCU, Colin Jones.
Again, this was the story. The Saints turned it over four times in the first half.
They were bringing the leather. And it's one thing with interceptions, but these were turnovers, even the fumbles, because guys were getting a hat put on a hat.
20-14, and there was a stretch, guys, where Alex Smith was really struggling to pass the football down the field, but Frank Gore stepping it up right here. 42 yards down to the New Orleans 20.
And really, when you think about it, that's kind of been the epitome of this team all year long. It's somebody steps up and makes a play. That's what's been happening.
23-17, here's Darren Sproles making a play as the Niners' safeties for once failed to make a play.
Jamie, and I want to say about the fourth or fifth week of the season, you called Darren Sproles the best free agent pickup of the 2011 season, yes, and I could not agree more.
Ensuing Niners possession. Alex Smith, how about this? That's touch to Vernon Davis. Second and 10, 37 yards down to the 30.
Jenkins, I mean, he beat him time and time again.
What a call this was.
Great call.
They called timeout, suffered through a penalty, and Alex Smith on third and 7 takes it into the end zone for a go-ahead touchdown. Just a brilliant offensive game. Play call here.
I like the play call, like the job by Alex Smith. But check out Joe Staley.
Bang.
Big fella.
Tackle all the way inside the 10-yard line with the cut block. 49ers on top. 49.
Got to go for two. We actually debated whether or not Alex Smith should have taken a knee.
Take the touchdown.
But you got to get in
there. Take the touchdown.
Lots of game left, like Drew Brees to Jimmy Graham. 66-yard Saints score. New Orleans now on top.
Wow. Hey, what have I told you guys? You can't give Alex Smith a minute 37. No, wait, I never said that, did I?
I don't think you did.
No, I never saw you say that.
No. You know I would have never said that.
You get a linebacker turning his back to Jimmy Graham, and Drew Brees knows right where he's going.
And the thing about it, Patrick Willis was there. This guy is just a heck of a football player.
Whitner played the ball and not the receiver, and ultimately Jimmy goes in for the exclamation point.
Jimmy dunks the ball as well. Two-point conversion, and the Saints on top.
You can't give Alex that much time.
To 29. Alex Smith with a perfect pass to Vernon Davis again.
And who is running behind him?
Malcolm Jenkins.
I mean, just posterized.
Ball on their own 25 with 40 seconds, and everyone in the football universe is saying, no way, the 49ers.
Playing for the game-tying field goal, right?
Bang.
Wow. Maybe not.
Beautiful throw again in between coverage. It was the Alex Smith, Vernon Davis show the last 15 minutes of that game.
49ers go on to win 36-32. Tremendous game for three quarters. It got super exciting in the fourth. Back and forth they went until Alex Smith and the Niners find a way to win 36-32. And after 13 regular season wins, this team will be in the NFC title game.
Tremendous, tremendous football game. And congratulations to the Niners who go to the NFC championship game. Let's take a look here at the Eagles' offense, the depth chart. It seems to be pretty solid, right? I mean, Steve Smith's not going to be back. King Dunlap remains to be seen. Owen Schmidt, good question. Good question. Vince Young, I'd be surprised if he came back. Brent Brackett. Nice. Third string tight end. I got the exclusive interview with Brent Brackett today. I want you to know, I'll be writing about that today. Evan Mathis, a big question mark. And obviously, DeSean Jackson is too. Good-looking group of offensive linemen. It all does begin and end with the quarterback, Michael Vick. He's got to be better, more secure with the football. So, the defense largely, in theory, could come back intact. But there will be changes. There will be players challenged. I like the front four. And you know, Antonio Dixon, restricted guy this year. Derek Landry, good question. If you had to pick between Derek Landry and Trevor Lawrence, who would you bring back? Trevor Lawrence playing pretty well. Pretty well. All right, let's go to Corey in Ohio. He joins us. Hi, Corey.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. What I think that we should do, I think we need a strong veteran quarterback as a backup to Vic. I would love to see Donovan come back and be a backup. That'd be great. He's out there. He's aged. I think he would be for that role as a backup. And I
Donovan
think
McNabb, did you say?
Yeah. Yes.
Wow, you want the circus to come back to town, huh?
No, I don't want no circus. I don't want no distractions. I just want to win.
Yeah, but I mean, you and I love Donovan, but you can't have Donovan McNabb back here and expect there to not be an all-out crazy circus. It's like bringing Terrell Owens back.
Nope, no, not Terrell. There would be a circus of Donovan, but I think that Philadelphia is his home, and I think that he should come back for maybe another year and just give Michael Vick some good pointers and help out if Vick gets hurt. And I think he'd be a good replacement if Vick did get hurt.
Well, I'd call you crazy, but I know how things work in the NFL, so I won't call you crazy. But I would like to get somebody maybe a little bit younger, more athletic at this point. I don't think Donovan can move very well at all.
I know, but if we're just worrying about Michael Vick staying healthy, then...
Well, you know, I mean, Mike Kafka might be your veteran backup. I don't know if you're looking for a veteran backup these days, or are you looking for the quarterback of the future these days?
Well, it's just my opinion.
Yeah,
I think Donovan should actually come back, and I definitely think we definitely need to sign Deshaun, and that should be like our number one priority, along with a veteran, maybe an outside linebacker. I like Casey Matthews. I think he'll grow into it.
Okay. I don't know if Casey's a middle linebacker. I don't see him as – I see him as a weak side linebacker. I don't know. I think the linebacker is the big question on defense. And Deshaun, of course, on offense is the whatever you want to say, the $9 million question. What do you do with Deshaun Jackson? Again, tons of talented receivers on the market. There are good players. It's a fascinating question that the Philadelphia Eagles have to answer. One of many in this offseason. I'm Dave Spadaro. It's Eagles Live. We'll be back next Monday as well. And maybe we'll have some news for you. There really is not much today. Eagles back from vacation. They'll start strategizing about the offseason, about talking about things like Deshaun Jackson and what to do with his contract and his situation. And obviously there's an opening at the cornerback position as far as a coach. There's an opening at the number two man in personnel, director of player personnel, with Ryan Grigson gone to Indianapolis. No news on those two positions yet. Al in New Jersey joins us. Hi, Al.
Hey, Dave. How's it going?
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm sick right now watching the Giants win.
Yeah. Hey, we all are. I was in a room filled with Giants fans, and as courteous as they are, they deserved it, man. They're playing great.
They are. Got hot at the right time.
Yeah.
That last caller talking about bringing back Donovan.
Donovan, yeah.
He's nuts.
Yeah. Well, it would be fun and everything, but it would be a circus.
It
and to deny that it would be crazy. Crazy.
No. Donovan, I love him. He was good when he was good, but now he's a shell of his former self. No, I don't want to see him. But real quick, I do think we should keep Juan Castillo.
Okay. Well, I think
the problem was really on Juan. I think the defense got better as the year went on, especially towards the end of the year. I think they just need the playmakers in the middle. The linebacker and maybe at the safety. You asked if we keep Laws or Landry. I like Landry.
Yeah.
I really like Landry.
I thought he played very well. He doesn't get – now, when you bring back Antonio Dixon, what is Trevor Laws? What is Derek Landry's role? Laws at least gives you a pass rush presence. Landry is just a hustling, productive – I certainly would love to keep Derek Landry. I think he just is the kind of guy you want on your team.
Yeah.
I just don't know, you know, a free agent veteran wants some money. I don't know if that's the kind of the move you make.
Right. And I know you watch a lot more tape than us, but every time I see Landry, he's like pushing guys in the backfield. Even if he wasn't making the plays, like blowing up those guards in the middle.
Yeah.
Which is I think is big. Deshaun Jackson, I think we gotta bring him back.
And what price do you bring him back? Do you franchise him? What do you do?
If they can't come to an agreement, I say franchise him because he makes every Macklin and all these other guys, he makes these other guys' jobs that much easier.
I here's what I'd love. Bring back Deshaun and get a big receiver who can be a threat in the red zone. Can you do that? Can you bring back both? Can you do both of those moves?
Probably not.
I'm not talking about Vincent Jackson.
Right.
But I just that red zone just it worries me. The red zone worries me.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I mean, if it's possible, and definitely not. I mean, you definitely can't get Vincent Jackson and Deshaun Jackson.
No, there's another
big guy out there. That'll be a good move.
Yeah. I mean, look, we've got free agency starts when? March 17th? March something or other?
We have
2 months. 2 months of nothingness.
It's killing me. I'm not used to this. It hurts.
Yeah, it's brutal. Brutal. Painful. But it gives the Eagles a chance to really understand that they had an opportunity there in 2011, and they let it slip away.
Yeah, look at these guys that are playing in the NFC Championship, the Giants and the Niners, two teams that the Eagles can definitely beat.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And the Eagles had it right there, a 23-3 lead over the Niners, a lead over the – I mean, the first drive of the game, the Eagles are rolling down the field, and Michael Vick's pass clanks off the hands of Steve Smith and is intercepted by Aaron Ross. And right then you said, oh, boy. Going to be one of those games, and that phase of the Eagles, they just could not finish games off. They could not find themselves. Vic goes out in the third quarter with a broken right hand. At the time, it was suspected a broken right hand, and Eagles couldn't hold on to a lead there. So,
yeah,
should have, could have, would have. Yeah.
What's the management's thoughts on Kafka? I thought Kafka was like the quarterback of the future. Solid,
yeah, I mean,
solid backup.
Yeah, the coaches will say that he's very much that guy. I speak of my own opinion. I just don't know if I'm all that with Kafka yet.
Right. I haven't seen enough of him to really.
That's the thing.
Say,
he looks very good against Atlanta. He did not look good against the Giants. His arm strength is, you know, maybe adequate, but you know, right there he got the ball down the field, no problem.
Right.
I like the way he comports himself, as Brad Childress used to say. But I need to see more of him.
Yeah, I agree. Vince has to go. I say that.
Well, here's the thing about Vince. Are you giving Vince Young a starting job if you're running an NFL team?
Probably not.
So if he doesn't get would you bring him back here as a backup?
I don't like him.
Okay.
I don't like Vince Young. I don't trust him.
He had way too many turnovers, that's for sure.
Way too many.
Yeah. Corey, thank you.
All right, Dave.
Well, hey, hang in there, brother.
Day, man.
Yeah, man.
See you next year.
Yeah, well, hey, we'll still be around.
All right, I'll definitely check in.
All right, thanks, Corey. Thanks very much for the phone call. Let's take one final break here. Eagles Live marches on. Dave Spadaro with you. We're coming right back on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Waiting for some news here. Nothing, no whispers through the hallways, no nothing. Quiet day. Glad to be sharing it with you.
You can say that I like things fast. Not because my supercar shoots the flames, but because I have Xfinity Internet. With all the laptops, smartphones, and tablets, I need more speed than ever.
Call now for a great offer on Xfinity Internet.
40 years. 14,610 days. 1.2 billion seconds of Gatorade science, passion, and evolution. All for the 1 second you need it. The G-Series. Prime. Perform. Recover.
It's time for the annual shareholders meeting. There will be the usual presentations on research and development. Some new members of the team will be introduced. The chairman emeritus will distribute his usual wisdom. And you? Well, you're the chief life officer. You just need the right professional to help you take charge.
We live in a smart world. Smart cars. Smart homes. Smart phones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights.
health updates and health tips for you and your family.
Life here, you know, it's a totally different life from compared to Philly. It's real simple here. Everything's simple. You know, I don't drive fancy cars. I don't have to have a big house. I don't live in a big house. And that's where I grew up at. It's just real laid back. Everybody's laid back. It's country folks. I just don't have this farm. You know, I have two other farms as well. And then my family has a couple farms as well. So I got a lot of farms and, you know, I enjoy them all. I like it out here, you know, you don't have to worry about nothing.
Who do you know is bush hogging their food plots a week and a half before football camp? Who plays in the NFL? Nobody. But your boy 5'8", the Hunter, T. Cole, baby. You in Ohio right now, you in Ohio with me. I got work to do. So, as far as you can see, this is my place. Hello, is anybody out there? No.
Some straw for the party.
High school football in Ohio is big, you know, it's a big thing in Ohio. Friday night lights, man, every Friday, you know, high school game. Yeah, it's a good time. A lot of people don't know that they see me as a DN second quarterback. Well, in high school, I was an all-state running back, and somehow found my way in the NFL as a defensive end. It all paid off. I'm here now. In the NFL playing DN for the Eagles. It's the best thing ever.
Thank you.
Appreciate your business.
Yep.
Thank you.
Don't get it enough far away from the fire so you know everyone will get the eyebrows burnt off.
My favorite place in the world right now. I'm here at the 2010 Pro Outdoors Blitz TV annual meeting celebration. It's a something that I do for my company every year. Let's have a big meeting and a party out here on my farm. And it's a great time. We got a bluegrass band going on. And we got friends and families and a bunch of hunters.
Oh! I broke one.
Duly down.
No, redo. Reshoot
it.
Reshoot.
We got this competition shoot we got here. It's a money shot here. You guys don't know, but it's 75 yards. I know it because, you know, I put it out there. But the other guys, they don't know the yardage. I'm going to go out here and I'm going to slam them. You ever see number 58, the Hunter, with a bow in his hand when he's not sacking quarterbacks? You're going to see it. Just come down here and join me and my buds. I'm going to hit this thing, y'all. Y'all ready?
Airball.
Oh!
Right
under it. Now I'm going to hit it now.
Gut shot.
Now I know where to hit it. Watch this third shot. I'm done. I hit it, though.
I'm gonna watch the slipping line over here. This is how we do it, baby. Here, 2010 Ohio style.
greatest place in the world to me. This is what I call heaven on earth. It's right here.
And there's a look, just a little look, at Trent Cole's off-the-field passion. Let's get back to the telephones. Robert in California joins us. Hey, Robert.
Hey, Dave.
Hi.
How you doing, sir?
Mets and Mets.
No, I hear you. So, I just wanted to say that I know as Eagle fans and everything, 8-8 wasn't a great year this
year. No.
But at least we got to 500 ball. You know, it was better than having a losing record. But I think this offseason we should definitely re-sign LeSean McCoy.
Okay.
And DeSean. You know, I know DeSean dropped down, his numbers dropped down from this past year and everything, and it seemed like he lost a little explosiveness. But I think he was just more worried about his contract this year. Wouldn't you agree, Dave?
Well, I can't buy. Listen, he may have been worried about the contract, but that's no excuse. Okay.
Yeah.
For missing a meeting and not being there for the Eagles against the Arizona Cardinals when the Eagles really needed him. I mean,
yeah.
You look back at that game. We were just sitting here talking about, you know, there were 8 different instances, it seems, against the Niners.
Yeah.
Hey, Ronnie Brown play, the dropped Jeremy Maclin play, 2 missed field goals,
yeah.
You know, so many different things. Well, the Cardinals game, too, you needed DeSean Jackson on the field. So
yeah.
I can't buy the argument about the contract. That's you focus on what you have. There's plenty of players in the league who thrived when they were on the last year of their contracts.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I agree with you on that, Dave. You know, a lot of people perform, especially in a contract year.
Yeah. So, but that said, would love to have him back.
Yeah, I definitely like to see him come back, you know, and we definitely got to get LeSean signed long-term because I think he had an outstanding year this year.
Yes, very much so.
You know, and I was just hoping. I know Juan Castillo's probably been taking a lot of heat up there, you know, and I was thinking maybe if he stays on as defensive coordinator this year, maybe he'll have a chance to get his full off season in and implement everything that he needed to implement with the defensive schemes and everything, and maybe it'll turn out better. After all, we did end on a 4-game winning streak.
Yeah, no question.
You know, and
Robert, it looked
good. The defense actually came together, gelled at the last month. Too bad it wasn't just a little bit earlier.
Robert, that's the big. Hey, thanks for the call. That's the big question. I mean, does Juan come back? It seems to me that he is. Till I hear otherwise, that's what I'm planning for. Juan Castillo to be the defensive coordinator, an off season to build the scheme and to rally the troops from day one. All right, let's.